The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Inspiring interviews with today's top landlords.
This is the Rental Income Podcast.
And now, Dan Lane.
Jay Lee, I know that interest rates are still crazy low, and a lot of investors are thinking about refinancing to lower their mortgage payment. So my question is, how do you know when it makes sense to refi? Like, is there a certain interest rate drop you want to see, or maybe a dollar amount that your payment's going to go down by, or maybe something else?
There are some averages. Yes, Dan, this is such a good question, one that we're answering all the time. On a rate and term refinance, general rule of thumb is we want to see a point reduction in rate more often than not. And usually between $80 and $100 a month savings tends to be appropriate for most circumstances. But let's not forget about cash out refinance.
Coming up on this bonus episode of the Rental Income Podcast, we'll talk more about cash out refinances and how if you have equity in one property, you can take that equity out and use that as a down payment to help you buy another property. We'll also talk about what you need to qualify for a mortgage today, what kind of credit score you need, what kind of debt-to-income ratio you need, and what else it takes to qualify for a mortgage today. Joining us on the show today is Chailey Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. If you've been listening to the podcast for a while, you know that Chailey is a sponsor of the podcast, but I just want to point out that Chailey is not paying to be here today. We don't ever do sponsored content on the show. Chailey's here because I love keeping up to date on what's going on with the mortgage market. So let's take a really quick break. We'll come right back and we'll talk to Chailey. A good deal on a rental property isn't going to last very long. To win properties today, you need to move quickly when a deal comes on the market, but it takes time to analyze a property. I want to let you know about an app where you can analyze deals on your phone in seconds. It's called Ask Rick. That's R-I-C for Rental Income Calculator. You can analyze a deal with the push of a button. You can figure out the rent, your mortgage payment, your expenses, and figure out the cash flow. If the numbers make sense, you can make an offer right there on the app, or you can send a calendar invite to your agent to see the property in person. Ask Rick is currently offering a free 7-day trial. Just search for Ask Rick in the App Store or go to Just Ask Rick. That's R-I-C, justaskrick.com. All right, you got me curious about the cash out refi. So, like, what do you want to see when you're looking at a cash out refi?
Well, so the first thing I'm going to ask is, what is the cash going to be used for, right? Let's assume that for our purposes, they're going to use it and redeploy it for additional real estate purposes. They're going to buy more properties. You're going to want to look at the rate of return on the investment that you're hoping to acquire, at least what your model is. And chances are, because remember, borrowed funds are non-taxable, which is a great part of a cash out refinance, utilizing the equity to further propel their real estate portfolio. But more often than not, what I'm seeing these days is that we're killing two birds with one stone. We're able to refinance, pull cash out, and reduce the interest rate from where it was when we started. So even if it's kind of a break even, or maybe they've increased their payment by $20, $30 a month, the vast majority of inquiries that we get for the cash out, that's the case.
Interesting. Okay. So if say I have a property and I've got $20,000 in equity there, could I close on the refi and then also close on a purchase on the same day and use that equity for my down payment?
I love the way you're thinking. 1,000% yes. We can make sure that that's all done simultaneously.
That's so awesome.
Interest that I think where you're going with that is that taking that cash all at once and paying interest before you actually have an investment may not be ideal. So absolutely, if they can structure it that way and have the new purchase property ready to go, that makes sense to me.
That's great. All right. Well, let's talk about some other questions I have here. So for the first question I have for you is about how much equity you need to refinance. So if someone, like, is there a minimum amount of equity that you need?
Yes. Now, this assumes, Dan, we're talking about conventional loan terms. It's very well defined for us, and it will depend on the differences between the property type, meaning single family versus the 2, 3, and 4 unit, duplex, triplex, fourplex, and then we have to layer in cash out versus rate and term. Let's start with rate and term. Single family residents can actually go to 85% on a rate and term refinance. And rate and term, for those that may be new to this, just means we're replacing one loan with a new loan, no cash back to the borrower. Okay.
Okay.
At 85%, they should probably know that PMI will apply, but depending on the circumstances, it may be worth it. 2 to 4 units on a rate and term refinance is going to be capped at 75% loan to value. Going into the cash out, we're going to lose 5% in each one of those categories. So single family actually drops by 10%. Single family residents on a cash out is going to be limited to 75% max loan to value. And the 2 to 4 is going to be maxed at 70% loan to value.
Okay, let me make sure I got that right, because I know this can be confusing sometimes. So, so with a cash out refi on a single family home, you need to have 70% is the maximum amount that you'll loan. So say on
75 on the single family.
75. Okay. So say if a property appraises for $100,000, you'll make a loan for $75,000.
Correct, on a single family residence.
Single family.
$7,000, yeah, for the 2 to 4.
Okay. Now, with qualifying for the mortgage, and I know this probably is very complicated, but is there a general criteria that you're looking at? Maybe, you know, a certain credit score you need, or maybe no late payments, or like, what do you need to qualify for a mortgage today?
Yeah, we certainly can go down a rabbit hole with this, but there is a quick abbreviated version that I can give your listeners. So credit score, first of all, mentioning there are 10 conventional loans per qualified individual available. Okay. Now, credit score related to 1 through 6 of that 10 could be as low. I mean, I've seen a 650 credit score get approved because they have compensating factors, low debt to income, strong assets, etc. When you move to the 7 through 10 of the 10, you must maintain a minimum middle credit score of 720 or greater to qualify. From that, let's move on to assets. Now, this gets a little bit more complicated. I do have a PDF matrix that will define this if I can give it to you and somehow you can get
definitely.
It to the listener. Yep. Okay. But the matrix is a reserve requirement for assets, right? You've got your down payment, of course, your 20 or 25% down, depending on what you're doing. But there's also going to be a reserve requirement that the individual needs to be prepared to show. This can be in liquid or non-liquid form. So checking or savings, you know, money market is liquid. Your retirement accounts would be non-liquid. And the reserve calculation will be a percentage of the unpaid principal balance of the rental property mortgages only. The percentages range between 2, 4, and 6%. The matrix that I'll send will outline all of that so it's easy to follow and they can use it to refer back to.
Okay. And if that was confusing to anybody, definitely reach out to Chaley. She can, I don't want to speak for you, Chaley, but you'd be happy to look at someone's information and see if this makes sense for them, right?
Would be delighted.
Awesome.
Yes.
Okay.
Once you see it and have the visual, it's not nearly as complicated as listening to somebody spell out the numbers.
Sure.
So that's credit and assets. Debt to income ratio is a little easier. Certainly if you're self-employed, the calculation of income is going to be a little bit trickier, but the requirement is the same. 50% DTI or debt to income is the threshold. So whatever income you have that we can extract from your documentation divided by the monthly liabilities on that credit report that we pull needs to be 50% or less to qualify.
And then what if someone had late payments on, say, a credit card? Does that disqualify you?
You know, I think that the current guidelines, and remember everybody, Fannie Freddie guidelines or any mortgage guidelines for that matter can be somewhat of a moving target. They're subject to change. A late payment on a single credit card, I think you can have one in a 12-month period. If it was a mortgage, for example, I think it has to be a minimum of 12 months past a mortgage late for them to be eligible versus the credit card. They can have one within that 12-month period of time.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, we had talked a few months ago. We did a bonus episode here, I don't know, maybe 6 months ago, and you were mentioning that if you requested a forbearance, you were not eligible to get a loan. Did they ever fix that, or is that still, if you have a forbearance, case closed?
No, they did fix it. Thank goodness.
Good.
Yeah, the language with CARES was a little bit ambiguous, and it wasn't spelled out the way I think it should have been. However, you got to give the feds and the government props for getting to it so quickly. But we're good to go now. Here are the guidelines as they exist today. If you're in active forbearance and there is 3 months of payments that have been missed, you can bring those payments current and be immediately eligible, or you can remove yourself from the forbearance, make 3 consecutive payments. And when I say remove yourself from the forbearance, what I mean is that if you have 3 months of back payments that you didn't make, you can contact your servicer. You can have that set up so that they add it to the end of the loan or whatever their mechanism is to make good on those 3 months worth of payments. Remove yourself from the forbearance, make 3 consecutive payments on time, and then you'll be eligible. So there's 2 components there. One, bring any past payments current, you're eligible immediately. Or second, get out of the forbearance by whatever mechanism the servicer says. We've got to either take this and over the next 30 years, add it to your principal balance, this outstanding amount, or add it to the whole lump sum to the back of the loan. Once that's finished, you make 3 consecutive mortgage payments on time, and then you're eligible. So both of those would be ways that they would qualify after, during forbearance.
Okay, perfect. And now, what about appraisals? Are appraisals always required, or are there any cases when they can be waived?
So for a purchase transaction and a rate and term refinance, for purchase and cash out refinance, appraisals will absolutely be required. However, if it's just a rate and term refinance, oftentimes we are receiving what's called a PIW, property inspection waiver, and an appraisal is not necessary, which is okay, fantastic. Wow. Everybody loves that.
Yeah, yeah. And let's talk about documentation, because I know this can sometimes overwhelm people when you're going for a refi. There's just so much paperwork required. What can someone maybe work on getting ready if they're thinking about refiing in the near future?
I'm glad you asked this one, Dan. And my token mortgage joke is that they need to be prepared to send in vials of blood and DNA samples. Okay. That's what it's going to feel like for some. But this is a great opportunity for me to set a few expectations. Ridge Lending does our pre-qualification work a little bit differently in that we really require the vast majority of the individual's documentation on the front end. We do this because we don't want any extra brain damage in the middle and the end. We know that the transactions are a foregone conclusion, exactly how they're going to go from beginning to end because we did so much work up front. And more importantly, everybody's very happy to know, once we take them through this rigorous front-end pre-qual process, we have the bones of their file, as I say. We don't have to do it over and over again because investors don't just do one purchase or one refi, right? They're usually multiple transactions. So once we have everything, we have to refresh pay stubs and bank statements, the things that expire and renew. Otherwise, it is a one-time exhaustive process. That said, here is a quick abbreviated checklist of what we'll need from them. 2 years of tax returns, 2 months worth of income documentation, pay stubs, 2 months worth of bank statements, copy of their ID, leases for their rental properties, mortgage statements for their rental properties, things of this nature. And I have a checklist too that I can also send if anybody's interested in seeing that. Dan, you can just
yep.
like. And the more complicated files are going to be, you know, the self-employed that has 4 businesses and 2 K-1s and 20 rental properties, those guys are going to be pulling their hair out at the end of the day with the documentation they have to supply. But chances are they're used to it, so they usually have a pretty organized system of submitting.
If you want to check out the 2 documents that Shaylee mentioned, the form that had all the information on what you need to qualify for a mortgage, or if you want the list of everything that you need documentation-wise, you can download them both at rentalincomepodcast.com/refi. That's R-E-F-I, rentalincomepodcast.com/refi. Or if you want to set up a time to talk to Chaley personally, she'd be happy to talk to you. You can contact her at ridgelendinggroup.com. That's R-I-D-G-E, lendinggroup.com. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe. We put out a new interview every single Tuesday, and we'll be back with a regular interview this Tuesday. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.
Some people might say coffee doesn't need chocolate, but you're not some people. You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavors swirling together with cold brew, topped with velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. That imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. It's a cold brew dream come true. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.